You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. The Lust of the Flesh is the title of this devotion. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Peter, he writes about this very poignantly. I mean, he pierces you. If there is any need for piercing, read 1st and 2nd Peter, especially 2nd Peter. I want that which is hidden within me to come into the light so it can be cleansed by the blood. I don't want to have any thoughts hidden away that I'm unaware, that I'm blinded to ways, desires, thoughts in me that are contrary to God. I want everything in the light so Satan has nothing he can use against me. For in that light of God, all things are made manifest, and the blood is there to cleanse me of all uncleanness, unrighteousness, and unholiness, and to keep my conscience free to live in communion with God. And Peter says, precious promises have been given to us by God, by which we have become partakers of his divine nature, listen, and escape the corruption that's in this world through lust. Escape means that you were held as a prisoner, but through these promises of God, he gives you a way of escape. You see, God will never allow anyone to be tempted above what he can bear, for with the temptation, he provides the way of escape. When the conflict is there in our conscious, in our soul, that there are ways about our character and nature that are ungodly, unclean, or unholy, God provides a way of escape if we're willing to take it. And I tell you with all my heart, every day I live in the escape route from all the lust that is in this world that corrupts it and destroys it and deceives and blinds people. And so Paul says in Galatians, if I may take you there, to Galatians chapter 6, please. He says in verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I mean, you really have to come into a place in your life, and this is a part of our spiritual growth where the Holy Spirit is constantly yearning and groaning and hungering and thirsting in us to yield to him, and not to yield to the carnal flesh in its laziness, indifference, and idleness by which it shuns the very powers by which it can be free. You see, the fallen nature of man is expressed in the weakness of the flesh. And Romans 5 says in that while we were yet weak, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, the weakness of the nature, let me say it again, is the expression of the fallen nature. And Jesus would say, pray lest you enter into temptation, for your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Or pray lest your flesh enters temptation and begins to express the nature of sin. God doesn't want you and me to express the nature of sin, carnality, harshness, indifference, self-indulgence, lusts, pornographies, adulteries, and uncleanness, and unrighteous ways of thinking and talking and acting, and the interest in demonic activity, which is called witchcraft, is a work of the flesh. All of these things the flesh can embody if it isn't empowered by the life that we receive through the love of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. And Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of man, but for the will of God. Again, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the lust, in the flesh for the lusts of man, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past time in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness. Lewdness is open, unclean behavior. You have absolutely no shame about living together with people you're not married to, or sleeping with people that you're not married to. All sex outside of marriage is sin. I know we're living in a promiscuous society where we're no longer having these consciousness of what's right and wrong, but you're not one of them. You've been washed in the blood. You've been drawn out of the darkness of this world into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And there is a sense of right and wrong that comes to you through the love of Christ, that we no longer live the rest of our time in the lust of the flesh, but for the love of God, for the will of God. You've spent enough of your time doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. You know, when I, some years ago, said, folks, no, drinking parties, not in a wedding, and getting drunk. No, that's not right. Some people decided this church was not for them. I don't believe that it is possible for us to live a truly holy, dedicated life through the power of Jesus Christ without some people saying, well, I'm not willing to pay that price. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to give up the lust of my flesh for the will of the Father. I'm not willing to follow Jesus in his self-sacrificial love on the cross. I'm not willing to be crucified with Christ. And folks, that is a reality. It does have, your will needs to decide whom you will serve. You know Joshua, he said, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You do have to choose whom you will serve. It's not just, I feel the goosebumps of God. How exciting to be a Christian. No, sometimes it's the hard knocks of saying, no, I will not look at that. No, I will not talk that way. No, I will not hold that grudge. No, no, I will not commit adultery. No, no, no. And you have a Holy Spirit love for God expressed in what you say no to. Say amen. No, no. He says in lewdness, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries, where you delight yourselves in the complete indulgence of the world without any sense of what pleases your Father. But in regard to these things, yes, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Oh, well, they're over-religious. They act, they're so holy, but I know where they fall short. They didn't want to get drunk with us. You see, people talk unkind sometimes, and they go to church and can be this way. And I understand that, folks. The Lord really has to fight for our soul. You would think we would fight for all that he has for us, but sometimes the other way around, where the Lord has to fight for us because we have been captured by the lust of the flesh into things that deprive us, that defile us and cause our souls to become dark. And then you can even get to the place where you talk bad about people that are trying to live right and trying their best to not go back to the ways of the world. But they will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. Yeah, I do think it is important that we realize that even if we do not decide to live right in this life, we will have to give an account about our choices someday. If I go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and Peter uses some really good, strong language that I believe is necessary. He says in 2 Peter 2, verse 4, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly. You see, we have these strong examples given by God that there is a reward for those who seek the Lord with all their heart, and there is a judgment for those who refuse to do so. And we have strong warning. He says, and he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despising authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, and so forth and so forth. And he goes on. He says they're like brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speaking evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime, their spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. In other words, they go to church having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have hearts trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray and followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restraining the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved blackness and darkness forever. One moment. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the one who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and later end is worse than in the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to a true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and is so, having washed in her wallow in the mire. You see, friends, these scriptures are not there to frighten us, but to remind us that we need Jesus day and night to keep us holy and to keep us clean, and that we need him to continuously fill us with his love for the Father and with his Holy Spirit, so that we can be spiritually minded and not set our thoughts upon the lust of the flesh to fulfill its desire, but set our hearts and minds upon the Father and be empowered by his Spirit in this flesh, so that it may be the holy dwelling place of God in the Spirit, and perfecting our devotions and consecration, dedication for him by a daily surrender to the love of Christ, who will perfect that which concerns us and complete the good work he began. Oh, my friend, today the Lord is longing for you and me to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, by living holy, empowered by his divine nature, so that we can live to the praise and the glory of God our Father. Amen. Have a good day.